We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.
You got Matt Miller on all the time.
Matt Miller.
Here I come. You ready?
NFL and NFL draft analyst at thedraftscout.com.
I gave him a 69 overall, so very nice grade for him.
Going through college and NFL film.
Jalen Johnson, he gets it. He's smart. He's tough. He's feisty. 6 foot, 193. Ran a 4.5 flat. He knew he needed labrum surgery. Went ahead and did the combine. Did the entire thing with a torn labrum. So I love this guy.
Matt Miller with Bernstein and Rahimi on The Score.
It's Mark Grody and Gabe Ramirez filling in for Bernstein and Rahimi on The Score today. And yes, Matt Miller of the draftscout.com joins us on The Score hotline presented by Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas, home of the world's largest sports book. What's going on, Matt? How are you?
Doing well, guys. Appreciate you having me on.
Absolutely, man. And I was just saying before the break that I do believe it was you who predicted or suggested strongly that the Bears would hire Matt Nagy as the head coach 4 years ago. And you were also, if I'm not mistaken, critical of the Ryan Pace hiring some 7 or 8 years ago, whatever the calendar year is on that. So with that said, who you got for the Bears GM and head coach this time around?
Hold on, let me get my betting app ready. Hold on.
Yeah. I'll say I don't feel as good this time around as I did last time where, like, I did. I hopped on here with Dan, you know, whatever, that 4 or 5 years ago, and was like, hey, Matt Nagy, I thought should be the guy as well. And I've said before, like a lot of people, I thought that he would bring that Kansas City offense. You know, we saw what he did with Alex Smith. It was like, oh, this will be great in Chicago. Problem is, he didn't bring that offense. I don't know what he was attempting to do, if he was trying to distance himself or not. But my pick would be, if I could pick anyone, it would be Brian Daboll. I think the Bills offensive coordinator would be great for Justin Fields. And I see that as the priority from the coaching standpoint of, hey, let's get someone who can develop Justin. And I think we saw what Daboll did with Josh Allen, taking him from a really toolsy quarterback and turning him into a really good quarterback. Like, and I loved Josh coming out of Wyoming, but even I would say, like, man, this dude's mechanics need a lot of work, and his timing needed a lot of work. And now we see, you know, a player who's taking the Bills to the AFC East Championship back-to-back season. So I think Brian Daboll would be a really good head coaching candidate. I also think what is intriguing to me is the fact that Daboll has coached in a lot of different places under a lot of different systems. So he's not a Belichick guy. He's not just a Saban guy. Like, he's been in Kansas City. He's been in Cleveland. He's been in Buffalo. So I don't feel like with him you're getting, you know, a Joe Judge type who's going to come in and just be New England Patriots of Chicago. It's more of someone who actually understands how to coach and work a team and also work an offense. And I think those connections would really help him with, you know, the type of staff that he can build, which is super important. And it's something that I think really hurt Nagy was when he was hired. I don't know if you guys remember, it was like he grabbed all these guys from the college game. And at the time, it was like, oh, this is new. Like, this is exciting. Maybe this will work. And it didn't. So if I had my dream duo, because I think that's super important, right, is mm-hmm. Ed Dodds and Brian Daboll. That's like your dream, right? And I know when Pace was hired, I was the dude who was saying, why aren't you hiring Chris Ballard? Why aren't you hiring Chris Ballard? I think that would have been a better move. And in hindsight, I think we can look back and say, you should have hired Chris Ballard. Now Ed Dodds works for Chris Ballard. So you have an opportunity to get to kind of right a wrong here. And Ed is, what, 42 years old now maybe, and has a reputation as one of the best scouts in football. So if the Bears want to find that right duo that can, you know, have some harmony there, when the coach says, man, I need this, the GM's like, I got you. Perfect player for it. Like what we see in Buffalo, what we've seen in Pittsburgh, what we see in Kansas City. I think that's what the Bears have to hope to find.
All right, $100 on Brian. Okay, got it.
Ed Dodds, yes, there you go.
You know what? I know that Grody loves talking about the Bears GMs and coaches, but, you know, I'm really interested about this weekend's playoff games. And so, you know, speaking of Brian and what a fantastic job he's been doing as an offensive coordinator of the Bills, let's talk about that game specifically. I mean, obviously, you had two totally different outcomes with these games the last time these two teams played. You know, New England running the ball all over Buffalo in that extremely windy and terrible weather game. And then the bounce back where Buffalo was able to just kind of, you know, make a statement. What do you think is going to happen in this third game between these two teams?
Man, I am so excited for this game. Also, I love cold football games. Like those cold weather games are my favorite. So I'm glad I'm not covering this game because it's going to be frigid. But I look at this and I almost look at it as the way these two teams have trended. You know, New England over the last couple weeks, it seems like they're trending down a little bit. You know, Mac Jones, he's turned the ball over a little bit more. They've had some injuries to deal with, so the run game hasn't been quite as impactful. You know, Damian Harris is still questionable for the game as of right now, as is Kyle Duggar. Meanwhile, the Bills have no players on their injured list. So I think I look at that and say, okay, in the last five games, yeah, New England got them once, but they also really struggled, you know, in, what was it, week 17. And that's what I look at is, can New England score enough to beat a Buffalo team at home? That I just don't think they can. So I do think the Bills come in hot. They've won four of their last five. Including that one over New England. They took Tampa to overtime. Like, they just look like a team that's getting hot and healthy at the right time. And I look back at every year. You know, last year it was Tampa. They got hot and healthy at the right time, and no one could stop them. And to me, that's the Bills right now in the AFC. They're the team that you just look at what they have done in the last month, and then all the players they have coming back from the injury reserve. It's pretty exciting.
Yeah, I keep wanting to say that the winner of that game, Patriots and Bills, would go into ultimately the AFC championship game and go deep. But I don't think the Pats would. Like, I feel like there is going, if they get past Buffalo, which is going to be tough, I just don't see New England doing damage beyond that. But the Bills, I could see. Do you think that is the case?
I'm with you. Yes. Like, I think the Bills could go all the way to the Super Bowl. They could win the Super Bowl. They have that much talent. The Patriots, I agree. Like, it feels like they're getting closer, but they're not there yet, right? They don't have probably the weapons yet to get there. Really good football team. Very well coached, obviously, right? But they don't feel like the team where you look at them, you're like, oh, man, they're pretty dangerous. You know, it doesn't feel like Tampa last year or some of the former New England teams or Kansas City, where you're like, oh my gosh, you know, this team's going to be a problem. They're going to be a nightmare. So I look at Buffalo though and think, like, Josh Allen is just so good. And it's crazy. I saw a stat. My colleague Mina Kime shared it the other day. It's like, Josh is actually not good in cold weather, which is kind of surprising coming from
Wyoming,
and they're going to Buffalo. Yeah. So it's like, if they can actually, you know, get some warm weather or, you know, have to go somewhere like a Kansas City or Tennessee to play, it might actually benefit Josh a little bit if they're on the road.
Yeah, it's going to be tough for them to – I mean, like, obviously you would expect Kansas City to beat the Pittsburgh Steelers, so it would be tough for them to – it's going to be a tough road no matter what. I mean, New England, KC if they win, and then either, you know, Tennessee or a Cincinnati kind of a combination is going to be tough. So that I can see who your favorite is out of the AFC. When I look at the NFC, I mean, obviously, you know, most people don't want to bet against Tom Brady, but I look at that number one seed and I see Green Bay, and I don't know if it's the Bear fan in me or if it's just the actual football analyst that's saying, I don't know if these guys can make it to the Super Bowl. What do you think? Or the big game?
Yeah, I don't know if the Packers can either. And again, I know I'm going against what I just said about Buffalo because the Packers are, like, incredibly healthy right now and they have been hot. It might be, like, I'm going to admit it, and I could probably do this on Chicago radio, my bias against Aaron Rodgers. Like, I understand how
don't
great
get yourself
he is,
in trouble.
And he's a first
no, you're safe.
First Hall of Famer. Right, I don't have an MVP, Bo. I can say whatever I want.
But I
do think, like, if I'm being honest, like, I'm probably, like, I would love to see Dallas in the Super Bowl. And for no reason other than I think it would be a great Super Bowl to have Dallas back in there. Like, to me, like, a Green Bay-Buffalo Super Bowl, like, I'm just not that excited for it. But for some reason, and I don't know, maybe it is personal bias, like a Cowboys-Bills or Cowboys, Chiefs, I think that'd be great. You know, the Rams have all the firepower on offense. Yeah, as do the Bucks. But what the Packers have done this year is remarkable. I mean, they, you know, other than that, you know, a couple of few slip-ups this year, including, you know, when Aaron was out against the Chiefs, like, they've been very, very tough to beat. And so it's hard to look at them and look at what they did, you know, to the Bears not that long ago, to the Ravens, to the Rams. Like, they were just red hot to end the year until, you know, the last game where they pulled people out. But I would say if you asked me to, you know, put $100 on it, I would probably say the Packers, just because they've been so good. They're the number one seed. Lambeau's very hard to go win at. But if I were choosing with my heart, like, I would love to see a Cowboys Super Bowl with how great that defense has been this year. With, you know, I just want to see as much of Micah Parsons as we possibly can this year is probably what it comes down to.
Talking to Matt Miller of thedraftscout.com on the Bernstein and Rahimi show. Those two are off today, so it is me, Mark Grody, and Gabe Ramirez of B96 and Bears Unleashed. And Gabe was right, Matt. I just want to get back to the Bears GM and head coach. So I will ask you this, and you may have unique or more insight than some because you pay more attention to college football than well, I do, and I think a lot of our listeners. So Jim Harbaugh. What is your opinion on, first, would Jim Harbaugh leave Michigan, and B, would the Bears be a destination to which he would consider?
I think he would leave Michigan. And when, you know, was that a couple weeks ago when it came out that, like, oh, you know, there's mutual interest between the NFL and Harbaugh. My whole take on this was that I do believe that they've peaked at Michigan. It took like 7 years to beat Ohio State. You finally did it. Like, you got to go out on top, right? You got to know when to ride away. And I feel like that's where he's at right now. You know, what's yes. the line? You either, you know, live long enough to you know, you die hero, or live long enough to be the villain. That's where he's at right now. Like, you're the hero. You beat Ohio State. You got in the college football playoff. You've seen what your limit is at Michigan. And the Big Ten is not getting worse, right? Like, that is a conference that's going to be pretty good as long as Ohio State's up there. So I look at it and it's like, this dude had a lot more success in the NFL going from Stanford to San Francisco. I think his messaging probably works a little bit better in the pros as well. And then, you know, you don't have to recruit, which I think a lot of these NFL guys struggle with. And there's not as much emphasis on player development. It's more about scheme, X's and O's, getting, you know, the right pieces for the right position. So I do think the Bears could be an interesting you know, spot for him. I think with Jim, it would be a big question about what that offense looks like, because when we saw it in San Francisco, it was, you know, all the read option stuff with Kaepernick and Alex Smith. The game has changed. So what would he bring to Chicago? I still think, and I tweeted this the other day, for me, what is most important for Chicago, the head coach is very important, the general manager is very important, but it's the having a clear vision of, this is how we help Justin Fields. Like, you don't have a first-round pick this year. You've invested that in Justin Fields. How are you going to help this young man be the best football player he can be? That is what, if I'm Ted Phillips or, you know, the owners, that's my question is, how are you going to help us turn this player we spent two first-round picks on, how are we going to make him a great quarterback? And I do think that Jim has shown he could do that. You know, with Alex and Colin, they were both playing at high levels. But what he brings around him would be a huge question mark for me, you know, especially on the defensive side. If Vic Fangio wants to come with him, then we're getting interesting here, right? Then it's like, okay, like, we've seen what Vic can do with what the Bears have on defense. So that would be, you know, I think so often we get caught up in like, this is the head coach. It's like, okay, well, who's the offensive coordinator? Who's the defensive coordinator? Because that really, really matters a lot.
It does, and I completely agree with you. You know, whether or not Jim Harbaugh will come to the Bears, who knows, and we can play that game all day. But I agree with you that he's ready to bolt Michigan. It's like he's maxed out. He has hit what I like to call the SEC wall. He's done. He got to the football playoff and then gets blasted by Georgia. It's sort of like Brian Kelly at Notre Dame. Like, he built this great thing, got to a national title game, was in the college playoff. Off, but he realized that that's it, and it's maximum effort getting there. So LSU comes a call, and he's like, Slater, I'm out of here where I can win, and you'd win there, and exactly. Jim Harbaugh could win in the NFL, right?
Yeah, I think it's win-win, right? But I am fascinated to see what Harbaugh does, because it's been 2 weeks, and he hasn't interviewed for any jobs that we know of, right?
Yeah.
I know, it's, we don't always, like, these lists come out of like, oh, we've requested to interview such and such. Well, you don't have to do that, right? You can interview whoever you want behind closed doors. Private jets and Zoom meetings exist for a reason. So I do think that you know, if Harbaugh wants to leave Michigan, now is the time, right? I mean, you took a pay cut last year to save your job, and it worked out, right? But they've already shown that they don't have a lot of faith in you because they cut your salary in half to ask you to stay, right? So I don't look at Michigan and think, oh, okay, well, he can carve out another 10 years there and make it the Alabama of, you know, the Rust Belt. I don't think that's happening. So if he's thinking about job security, I think the NFL is the better move.
Talking to Matt Miller, and he answered Grody's question of whether or not the GM and the coach should be dependent upon Justin Fields walking into that door. But let's just say it was one of your guys, Matt. Let's say it was, like we mentioned, that we just talked about. Let's say it was Jim Harbaugh. Let's say it was Daboll. Obviously, we don't have a first-round pick. If you're the GM to these coaches, who are you taking first in the draft, position-wise? Not player-wise, but position-wise.
For the Bears specifically, yes. I think you have to look at wide receiver. You got one guy under contract, and Mooney's a very good player, 1,000 yards this year, right? But you have to start thinking about how to help Justin, but also, like, you know, I think we saw in Detroit when they lost four wide receivers, like, what happened? Like, it wasn't good. They drafted Amon-Ra St. Brown. He's been great this year, but you have to have players. And Allen Robinson, whether you can keep him or not, I think it's a big question mark. Even if you can, I still think you have to find a third, fourth, and fifth option. So, I think the wide receiver position is incredibly crucial to what Chicago does. I'm a huge Cole Kmet fan. I think you have your tight end. I think you have your running back, David Montgomery. The offensive line, is, you know, there's still some question marks up there, obviously, but I think wide receiver is just a huge, huge part of it this year. Like, you have to hit there. And that doesn't mean you have to get, you know, this, like, super gadgety, oh, we got to draft speed. No, like, you need a hit. You need a guy who can catch five or six passes every Sunday, who's a consistent route runner, who's, you know, smart and aware. And this is a good receiver class at the top. You know, there's going to be quite a few first-rounders again. I think one of the biggest issues is the drop-off in talent after, you know, that fifth or sixth receiver comes off the board.
Matt, great stuff as always. We appreciate your time.
Appreciate you guys. Have a great one.
Yep, that is Matt Miller, thedraftscout.com. It's Mark Grody and Gabe Ramirez filling in for Bernstein and Rahimi. And Gabe, congratulations. I think you asked, glad you did, the first draft question
to the draft
of
guy?
The year of 2022.
Oh, okay, yeah.
Like,
yeah.
It has it, like, because quickly, before you know it, that we'll all be throwing names out that nobody's ever heard of for Bears to pick in the second and third rounds this year. It's going to be something.
Well, every time we have like Mike on or whatever, like, they're always talking about offensive linemen. So I was curious to see what he had to say.
Yeah.
And sure enough, wide receiver. I love it.
Dude, I am such a sucker for draft questions. I love it. Like, the reason the draft is a big deal is because of people like me. I just love it. So, yeah, I got all day to talk about the draft, and that script is coming soon, ladies and gentlemen. But coming up next, this is going to be another Gabe segment, because Gabe has proven to us and shown us that he just wants to bet on everything. Like, everything in his brain is about betting, whether it's the Bulls or the Bears. And so, next, we will bring in Joe Ostrowski from BetQL Daily and Early Odds. And Joe O, hopefully he's got some odds on the Bears coaching and GM search. And then whatever we want to ask him, big NFL weekend as well, the Bulls, whatever. We're gambling with Joe O next on The Score.
I have a daily sports betting show.
We couldn't live without Joe Ostrowski.
Oh, yeah. He's got a lot of Herbert Hoover in him. I got to tell you that much.
Joe O! Joe Ostrowski of BetQL Daily and Early Odds. Just about to hear from him. Mark Grody and Gabe Ramirez filling in for Bernstein and Rahimi here on The Score. Lawrence Holmes will jump into the conversation in about a half an hour from now at noon. Looking forward to talking to Loho. And right now, Joe Ostrowski joins us on The Score Hotline, presented by Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas, home of the world's largest sports book. What up, Joe O? How are you?
Oh, I'm great. I'm pumped for this wild card weekend, and it carries all the way over to Monday night. Never enough football.
Where do you start? Where do you start with the football playoffs? What's the juiciest game to you, and from a betting perspective?
From a betting perspective, this will not be from a viewing perspective, but a betting perspective, I'll go with the Sunday night game. I don't know how Pittsburgh even hangs around against Kansas City. We saw this matchup the day after Christmas, and it was a 36-10 final. That was without Kelce playing in the game. He was on the COVID list. And Tyreek Hill was just coming off the COVID list. He only had two targets in the game. Pringle had two touchdowns. Andy Reid's out there this week, Groats, and he's like, oh, yeah, Steelers are playing like a number one seed. Not on my television. He's trying. Like, come on, guys. Can I pump you up? I'm a little scared about Tomlin getting the boys revved up and Watt and all the guys, but
That's an old Lou Holtz trick, isn't it? Wasn't it Lou Holtz that used to always talk about the opposition like they were the most grandiose team ever?
Yeah, that ain't happened. Gabe, we're laying it, right? We're taking the heavy favorite here with the Chiefs.
Usually you and I are on the same page. We won money time you were on the show.
Uh-oh.
I just think playoff football is hard to take that, you know? And then, you know, they can still run the ball. Kansas City's defense, granted, has been great as of late, but they're still susceptible to, you know, the big game. And, you know, Ben Roethlisberger playing mind games with everybody out there. I don't know. I would stay away from that.
But can he play football? I don't think he can play football anymore. That's the big problem with Ben.
Yeah,
I hear you.
Yeah, that's something that I would just stay away from. 12.5 in the playoffs, I'm just like, because then if they lose by 10, I'm going to be pissed at you, and I don't want to do that. So, I'm going to stay away from that one.
You will. I'll tell you what I'm doing first half. The Steelers, the last six games, they've been outscored in the first half 119-16. So they have been very slow.
Okay, that's
starters.
A phenomenal bet. See, if you're listening for the betting, like right there, bet first half, KC with the spread. Now that sounds delicious right there. I love that one. But tell me something else that's delicious. And because I'm looking at this, and I always try to find the underdog because I always love plus money. So the first team I look at is San Francisco. Tell me why I'm wrong in thinking that they could pull off the upset, if you feel that way.
Well, you're not.
Oh, there we go.
I don't think you are.
Pick it a winner.
Listen, yeah, they have been. It sounds like they're a popular underdog. This is going to be the best game of the weekend. There's a reason it's the shortest point spread. The Cowboys are favored by only 3 points. But I look at the head coaching matchup here. Shanahan against McCarthy. Look at Shanahan against maybe Bears head coach Dan Quinn. Dan Quinn has done a terrific job turning that defense around, and the influx of talent with the rookies, with Parsons and Diggs. I mean, Diggs with 11 interceptions this year. That's something we have not seen in the last 40 years. You know, Quinn's defense led the NFL in takeaways, but that always scares me because sometimes there is a bit of a luck factor, especially with fumbles. When you're the strength of your defense is built on turning the football over. Sometimes we don't see that carry over many times from year to year. But I really like this San Francisco offense. They are extremely underrated. They're all world left tackle Trent Williams. He's been limited throughout the week. He says he's going to play. The great rushing attack that Shanahan has there. And Deebo Samuel, I think he's the most underrated superstar, if that's even possible, in the NFL. Shanahan as an underdog. He covers 60% of the time, a 25-17 record. Many believe that the Cowboys offense is back on track because they hit 50 a couple times recently. Well, last Saturday, that was against second and third teamers against the Eagles. And the other time was against Washington when they were fighting on the sideline. I'm not completely buying in with the Cowboys, but I will agree with Matt Miller. If they're right, they could win the Super Bowl. They do have that sort of a ceiling, but I like San Francisco getting 3 points this weekend.
All right, one of the other games that we spent some time with Matt Miller on, as you just referenced, was New England at Buffalo. I love this game. Like, this is the game that I am most looking forward to from a fan perspective. I would like to see New England. I'll admit it. I want to see New England upset the Bills. What do you have on this game, Joe?
Yeah, so everyone is talking about Josh Allen in the cold. I would push against that a little bit. We just realized that Josh Allen is a good quarterback last season because he was going through his struggles as he was developing there. And the freezing temp stats that have been floating around, they're bad. They're really bad. Six touchdowns, 7 interceptions. He's averaging 167 yards per game and only completing 50% of his passes. Now, that's in 5 games, and a few of those were when he was a rookie or in his second season. And I think it's fresh in everybody's mind because the worst game in freezing temps that he had, it was against Atlanta a couple weeks ago. He had no touchdowns and 3 interceptions. So I understand why that's a bit of a concern. He balled out second time against this very same defense. Christmas week, he had 314 passing yards, 64 rushing yards, 3 touchdowns, no interceptions. But that was a tighter ball game than the score would suggest. I've got Bill Belichick, and I'm getting 4 points. Mm. Yeah, I'm going to go with the Patriots.
Wow.
Yeah, they have the strong running game.
Wow.
And you can run on this Bills defense. We saw that in the win game. They were able to run on them. Belichick covers 67% of the time as an underdog. I don't know that they win, but I don't expect the Bills to win by 5 or more.
I look at the over-under of that game, 44. I just know that New England can put up points. I know Buffalo can put up points. So as a casual fan, I'm just like, give me Buffalo minus 4 in the over. It might win by 10, 34, 24, something like that. But I just think, you know, Allen is going to just ball out. I feel like this is a statement game for him, even though the last one wasn't. But I think that was a whole team effort. I think in this one, he wants to silence the critics that say he can't play in cold weather, that mm-hmm. he isn't as good as this New England team. I just think that they're not ready for the moment right now, personally. So for me, I'm actually doing the opposite. I'm taking Buffalo. I think they're going to win by I might move the line intentionally to 9.5 to try to get that one. But that's just me. I lose a lot of money in gambling too. I don't win them all. So
nobody does.
Right. This could explain it. Let's go and move over to the NBA. I mean, I was talking to Grody today and I was mentioning how I thought it was a lock for the Bulls to win today, you know, coming off that loss against the Brooklyn Nets and, you know, Golden State playing last night, you know, them being on a back to back. I'm curious as to what your thoughts are with that Bulls game tonight against the Warriors.
Yeah, not only is it the second of a back-to-back for the Warriors, they're in a bad run right now. They've lost 4 of their last 5 games, and they have no Draymond, no Klay Thompson. Last night you mentioned the Milwaukee game, also Memphis. Now, it's fair to point out that those are 2 really good teams, 2 of the best teams in the NBA. But I expect another bounce-back performance from the Bulls. We saw one in that Detroit game after losing to Dallas. And I expect it to be much of the same. There's a reason that the Bulls are favored against Steph Curry. I've seen between 3.5 and 4.5, but I agree with you on the Bulls. If you're looking at props, Vooch should have a big night without Draymond. The fours, the big bigs over the last couple of games without Draymond, they have been killing it on the boards against the Warriors. So I'm expecting a good bounce back from the Bulls tonight. They need it.
Can I just ask a follow-up real quick about the over-under as well? I mean, I'm leaning towards the under just because I know Golden State, you know, when they get down early, they'll just bench their guys and, you know, put up these sub-100 type games. And so I'm leaning towards the under in this one. Are you feeling the same, or you think it's going to be a high-scoring game for both teams?
I would go higher scoring because we're not going to see the great defense of the Warriors without Draymond. So I would lean higher scoring. If you feel that there's a blowout factor, why not just make the Bulls bigger favorites, right? And get some bigger money.
See? That's why I love you, Joe.
I do my money dance. So a little bit of breaking news, gentlemen. This is according to Ian Rappaport of NFL Network at Rap Sheet. Little blue check mark. There we go. The Bears have put in a request to interview Chargers Director of Player Personnel JoJo Wooden for the vacant GM job, a source said, according to Rappaport. Wooden is a key lieutenant for GM Tom Telesco, who worked under Bill Polian, who, of course, is helping the Bears with their current GM search. And, Joe, this would be a good segue or opportunity to ask you if there are gambling odds and favorites on the Bears GM, on the Bears head coach. Do those exist?
There are on the head coach. What I do like to hear with a lot of these GM candidates, it seems like the Bears are talking to the smart teams, the teams that are trying to use analytics that are ahead of the curve. I hear a lot of Buffalo, Cleveland, Colts, Chargers you just mentioned, so I find that pretty intriguing.
Yeah.
And the head coaching odds, last check, Flores is the favorite. I think they're just following the news there. He's the favorite at 3-1. The second favorite, we've got Todd Bowles and Nathaniel Hackett in the mix, and at 6-1, the fourth favorite, Leslie Frazier, and then rounding out the top 5, Jim Harbaugh and Brian Daboll. I don't know where you guys stand, but I think most years when we have these coaching searches, I hone in on a name or two. I didn't realize how many quality head coaching candidates there are right now as we get more information on a lot of these potential head coaches. I feel like there's a number of 5 or 6 that I'd be pretty pleased with.
According to Matt Miller, I'm putting $100 on Daboll. So
Daboll,
whatever his line is, I'm in.
Well, you can't argue with the development of Josh Allen, and he's worked with guys like Nick Saban. His offense year to year, I mean, they've been terrific in Buffalo. I'm a little surprised that he doesn't have a job already. And if you're into the offense, if you're worried about landing on a great play caller, then you lose them the next year because they get hired away to be a head coach, that would not be an issue, right?
You're correct. And for the record, the Bears today will interview that guy, Brian Flores, of the Miami Dolphins, one of the betting favorites for the Bears. So we will see what comes out of that. Well, we won't get details, but I will be able to tell you when it officially happens. The Bears will also interview GM candidate Jeff Ireland. Joe, is there anything obvious that we're leaving out? Anything else that you're really hot for this weekend in the NFL or any of our sports?
In the NFL, I guess just one other quick note that I would mention, a different strategy that a lot of bettors use. Once you get to the postseason, beware the debutants. And I'm talking about the new quarterbacks playing in their first playoff game. So there are 5 of them. Las Vegas-Cincinnati game, both of them, believe it or not, Carr, this is his first playoff game as long as he's been in the league, going against Burrow. But Mac Jones, Jalen Hurts, Kyler Murray, new quarterbacks in the playoffs, not very good. They have a record of 10-31 straight up since 2002, only covering 32% of the time. And also watch out for the new coaches in their first playoff as well. The trend that we've seen over the last few years here since 2017 is the underdogs have performed very well in the wild card round. Underdogs are 15-3 against the spread. Road underdogs 14-2 against the spread. That won't keep up. It'll turn at some point, but you know, it's a week where in the wild card round we're used to seeing bigger point spreads. There are only 2 that are larger than a touchdown. I think it really speaks to the parity we have in the league right now.
Great stuff, Joe. Appreciate it, man. And good luck to you this weekend.
Thanks, guys. Enjoyed it.
Absolutely. Joe Ostrowski of BetQL Daily. You can find him there Monday through Friday, 8 a.m. to 11 a.m. Early odds is what he is a part of as well. It's Mark Grody and Gabe Ramirez in for Bernstein and Rahimi. When we return, I will present to you the evidence as to why the Bears GM and head coaching jobs might be the best openings that exist in the NFL right now. It's coming up next on The Score. He's Gabe Ramirez. I'm Mark Grody. We collectively are in for Bernstein and Rahimi on The Score today. Thanks for tuning in. 312-644-6767 if you'd like to text The Score. You should definitely follow Gabe Ramirez on Twitter, for crying out loud, at @Chicago_Gabe.
I'm jealous of Grody. He has 33,000 on Twitter.
Hey, look at my minuscule Instagram, though.
That's what
Instagram
we got to do.
I need my Instagram boosted. Or do I? Do I really need people looking at my story right now?
I'll go on B96 on Monday and tell people to follow you.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, man. Get it going here. Yeah, people need to see my COVID beard and
and your toes. Yes, I'll tell everybody, every time Mark goes to the restaurant, he shows us his toes on the Zoom.
Oh, are you serious? Is that been happening?
Yeah, see your toes, bro.
Oh,
the worst boomerang sequel possible.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, my God. I'm so embarrassed. Yeah, I forgot, too, that we're on Twitch. I saw somebody saying something like, Grody looks like he just got up. Pretty much. I did do the evening show last night, and I have been in quarantine, so I've got that look going for sure.
I did see that. You talked about your Tevin Jenkins interview, right?
Yeah. Yes. Tevin Jenkins was on last night. As a matter of fact, I just tweeted that out. If anybody would like to listen, it's really engaging. He's such an open guy, is Tevin Jenkins, and we talked about all the real stuff about this season and where he fits in with the team in the future, the transition to the NFL. He was very real about all of that. He also gets into some, you know, some book club stuff, a book that he is recommending to me that he read. He talks about his barbecuing prowess, just what his fiance, all sorts of sort of open book stuff from Tevin Jenkins. So I just put that on Twitter. I thought it was really interesting. So check it out if you would like. I would definitely appreciate
that. You
should
see what that tree looks like. You know, it's a beautiful tree.
You know what? I blew it. In the 15 minutes I had with him, I did not ask him about the Juan Castillo directive for him, Tevin Jenkins, to buy a Christmas tree. But I promise you will enjoy it at Mark Grody Sports. I talked before the break, and we touched on this a little bit earlier, that if people are worried that the Bears' job is not one of the best jobs and it keeps popping up, I will tell you that it's possible that the GM and the head coach of the Chicago Bears are the best jobs. And I'm going to play you some tape right now that, believe it or not, I think is evidence towards that. Take a listen.
Hello, George. Was it
Hello,
your decision, or at least urging, to have Justin Fields take over as the starting quarterback of the Bears when he did this year?
No.
What did you think of the plan this year that Matt Nagy had? Were you all for the idea, the blueprint of Andy Dalton potentially being the quarterback the whole year?
I went out of my way to emphasize to Matt that ownership has no interest whatsoever in determining which players play, especially at the quarterback position.
Okay, cool.
And that it's entirely a coaching decision.
George, back to when Justin was named the starter, just a couple of days after Matt said Andy would be the starter if he's healthy, were you involved at least in the conversations with that? What went on during that time? And was there an organizational feeling that there'd be some growing pains if Justin was named the starter? The win-loss record may not look so good.
Matt and I talked about it. At one point, he asked me what I thought. And I said, I'm uncomfortable that you're even asking the question. That's a coaching decision.
Yeah. So, ladies and gentlemen, the process might be flawed about the way the Bears have gone about hiring, or in the process of going about hiring, or how they have gone about hiring in the past. But guess what? You have autonomy when you have that job. When you are the coach of the Bears, guess what? You always hear about meddling owners. George McCaskey truly is the anti-meddler. Like, he doesn't even, like, Matt Nagy apparently gave him a chance to meddle, and he said, no, that's not my area. You do that, and I will do the stuff that I need to do. So once you are in as general manager and head coach, for better or for worse, you got a lot of security and you got a ton of autonomy. And yes, you are answering to higher powers within the organization, but you can lay it out the way you want and they will let you go about your business.
Well, I think ultimately that's what we want as Bear fans, right? If I wanted McCaskey coaching my team, I'd have him on the sidelines. I want him to do his job, which is hiring experts, Mark. I'm a big fan of experts, whether you're a plumber coming into my house or you're the person at Chipotle making my burrito bowl. I want you to know exactly what you're doing, because I am not the expert, right? And I think that he's taking the right approach. He was uncomfortable with the fact that Matt Nagy, even though he's an inclusive guy and loves collaboration, he did not like the fact that Matt Nagy was asking him about player personnel. And I think that, again, as a Bear fan, I like that answer. The guy who you're bringing in right now, I want him to be confident in what he's doing and understanding football in a way that I don't, right? I'm here as an idiot on the radio talking about sports, but this is from a fan's perspective. I want the coach of the Chicago Bears to know more than I do. So I understand and I actually respect that. But I'm curious. You said you were going to tell me why this is the most desirable. These two positions are the most desirable in the NFL.
Oh, well, I think that's a big part of it right there, that you can, like, people always say, well, is anybody going to want to work for Ted Phillips and George McCaskey, the way they run things over there? Why wouldn't you want to work for those guys? Because, again, they let you do your jobs. Like, George McCaskey just laid that out. He doesn't want anything to do with it. So I think that is a big reason why. I think another reason why would have to be, if you still see the high potential, Justin Fields, you have a young, controllable quarterback under contract right now. I think that is an allure. I do think the city of Chicago is a big allure, or the idea that it is a big market. You know, maybe you don't have ties to Chicago or don't really care about Chicago. It is almost by definition a good job because it is a large job, a high profile, one of the biggest jobs in the NFL in terms of franchises that people are interested in. I mean, the Bears are top 10 in popularity. I mean, I think they're going to still be behind some teams in the NFL at this point in that regard, but it's a popular destination. And then you have to look at the other jobs that are open right now. And, you know, I think that there are some other good jobs. I don't know that I look at like something like Minnesota and say, would you choose Minnesota over Chicago? Probably not. Miami? Yeah, you might choose Miami over the Bears because it's Miami and a relatively talented roster. I don't know about Las Vegas. Denver seems like a good job. And my God, is Jacksonville is a huge wild card, I think, because I think the quarterback, Lawrence, is still going to be really good, but it just seems like that is just a canyon of losses when you go to Jacksonville. And then New York, I think, is a lot like Chicago, right? The Giants, big market, all that kind of stuff.
Yeah, I think you're right. In Chicago, you could live forever. Just like Dicka, you could have restaurants and sauces named after you, and I think that's compelling and something that might want to get you in. But I think more than that, right, I think it's to what you said initially, which is you're going to have the ability to run the organization the way that you see fit if you are a coach of the Chicago Bears. And when we're talking about guys like Harbaugh, he is cut from that cloth. When you're talking about a guy like Flores, these are individuals that want to come in and I don't want to say rule with an iron fist, but essentially that's what these guys are going to come in and do and create and mold this football team in their eyes. And that's what you ultimately want. Again, as a Bear fan, you want somebody who's going to come in and really just shape this team to what you want them to be. And that's a winning organization. And in order to have that, you need a winning coach behind that.
Amen, man. That is Gabe Ramirez. I'm Mark Grody. When we return, we're going to bring in our guy, Lawrence Holmes, for Transition on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's going to go. Alvarez ties the game.
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.